It's Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, John Russell has a report on companies seeking to recycle solar panels. Later, Brian Lynn presents this week's science report. We close the show by visiting one of the best-known national parks in America, Yosemite. But first, here is John Russell.
Many plans designed to deal with climate change depend on the use of clean energy from the sun, or solar power. But the equipment necessary for solar power sometimes gets damaged or wears out. These solar panels often end up as waste in landfills. A business based in Yuma, Arizona, is trying to deal with what its founders call a tsunami of solar waste. The company is called We Recycle Solar. Workers move large numbers of solar panels with special machines, then lift each out by hand to begin separating by maker and model. Some panels only have a few cracks in their glass. These panels can be reused, said company chief Adam Sagai. The panels that do not go to testing and resale instead go to a special area where glass, metals, and other materials with value are separated. Solar panels are built to survive many years of bad weather, so it is difficult to take them apart. Separating the glass without it breaking, for example, is difficult. But We Recycle Solar uses special robotic devices that can do the work successfully. Some of the highest value materials in solar panels are copper, silver, aluminum, glass, and crystalline silicon. For Sagai, the idea for the company came in 2017. He was working in the computer electronic waste sector. He saw solar panels spread across roofs and wondered where the panels would go in the future. He said he realized that green technology does not stay green once it is no longer being used. Copper is one metal the recycling process produces, said Dwight Clark, director of recycling technology at We Recycle Solar. Clark said there is not a lot of copper in each solar panel, but when the company recycles about 4,500 kilograms of solar panels in an hour, the company can get over 100 kilograms of copper. By 2050, solar panel waste will total some 78 million tons worldwide, said Mul Gupta of the University of Virginia. The reason recycling and recovery is not very strong yet, Gupta said, is that companies do not want to pay the $30 per panel cost when it costs only $1 to send it to a landfill. Garvin Heath is a renewable energy expert at the U.S. Department of Energy. He said the cost to recycle should not be more than the cost to put solar panels in landfills. He said consumers should not have to pay anything, and recycling businesses should not suffer financial losses. Other companies are starting to get into the business. SolarCycle, a new company based in Odessa, Texas, raised $30 million earlier this year. and solarpanelrecycling.com is connected to electronics recycler Powerhouse Recycling. The European Union has rules that require recycling of electronic waste under its Waste Electrical and Electronic Waste Directive. Market researcher VisionGain estimates the global market for solar panel recycling at $138 million for last year and growing fast. Jack Grappo of the University of Kentucky says people have to stop sending solar panels to the landfill as soon as possible. Once the solar panels go into the landfill, they're gone unless we go back and mine the landfill, he said. Grappo estimates that in 20 years, people will mine landfills to get valuable materials in the solar panels, but he said it makes more sense to separate the panels at their retirement instead. The Yuma facility can process 7,500 panels in a single day. As of early June, it estimates more than 650,000 tons of carbon dioxide waste production have been avoided. It is reusing about 60% of the panels that come in. The company plans to open another recycling center next to a large solar manufacturer in the southeastern part of the country. For now, solar recycling companies are still looking for a way to make money. But Gupta said these profitability issues are temporary. Researchers are hard at work on solving them, he said. He added, too many lives are lost to pollution, and solar is one of the top solutions. I'm John Russell.
A new artificial intelligence, AI, method has been used to identify an asteroid that could one day present a threat to Earth. Scientists made the discovery using a computer processing method called an algorithm. The algorithm searches through data collected by four different Earth-based telescopes. The goal is to identify asteroids that might present a risk of crashing into Earth. The asteroid search effort is financed by the American Space Agency, NASA. It is operated by a team at the University of Hawaii's Institute for Astronomy. The system is called ATLAS. It involves four different telescopes. Two of the telescopes are based in Hawaii. Another operates in Chile, and the other sits in South Africa. ATLAS is designed to search the whole sky several times each night, looking for moving objects, NASA explains. NASA and its international partners continuously search the skies for what scientists call near-Earth objects, or NEOs. Such objects include asteroids and comets that come within 50 million kilometers of Earth's orbit. The effort aims to identify and follow NEOs that could one day strike Earth. NASA says a large majority of the NEOs that enter Earth's atmosphere burn up before reaching the planet's surface. But the space agency is concerned about larger NEOs up to 50 meters in size. NASA says such objects could cause widespread damage to areas they hit. The space agency considers NEOs that come within 7.5 million kilometers of Earth's orbit and that are bigger than 140 meters potentially hazardous objects. Researchers from the University of Washington created the algorithm and led the latest discovery operation. The team announced in a statement it had identified a 182-meter-long asteroid named 2022 SF289. The find came during testing of the new algorithm, which the researchers called HelioLink 3D. The researchers said the newly discovered asteroid met the description of a potentially hazardous asteroid, or PHA. However, the scientists said asteroid 2022 SF289 will likely present no threat to Earth in the foreseeable future. The newly discovered asteroid was the first PHA to be identified with the HelioLink 3D algorithm. Scientists plan to use the new algorithm together with the Vera C. Rubin Observatory, which is still being developed on top of a mountain in Chile. Rubin is expected to start operating in early 2025. University of Washington researchers have said the observatory should greatly improve the discovery rate of PHAs. This is because the telescope was built with a very powerful new camera and a huge mirror. Some NEOs are difficult to identify with existing telescopes because they can be blocked by bright areas of space. For example, other equipment missed asteroid 2022 SF289 because of rich star fields that exist in our Milky Way galaxy. Rubin's instruments are expected to provide more detailed images and data to improve the identification process for NEOs. Ari Heinze is a researcher at the University of Washington and a main developer of the HelioLink 3D algorithm. He said in a statement, "By demonstrating the real-world effectiveness of the software that Rubin will use to look for thousands of yet unknown, potentially hazardous asteroids, the discovery of 2022 SF289 makes us all safer." The University of Washington researchers say more than 2,350 have so far been discovered. They say with the new algorithm, scientists hope to identify thousands more. Astronomers using ATLAS say discoveries of PHAs are made when they identify a point of light moving unambiguously in a straight line over the image series. The HelioLink 3D algorithm was developed specifically to be used by the Vera C. Rubin Observatory. But Heinze and other researchers said they wanted to see if it could discover a new asteroid using existing telescope data. After Rubin's team set HelioLink 3D to search through Rubin data, it identified its first PHA on July 18th. The asteroid was 20 million kilometers from Earth. ATLAS astronomer Larry Donnow was a leader of the discovery team. He said the algorithm shows it is possible to recover these faint objects as long as they are visible over several nights. Donnow added, "This in effect gives us a bigger, better telescope." I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn joins me to talk more about his science report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Of course, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
Your report described a new artificial intelligence method scientists are using to help find asteroids that might threaten Earth. Researchers working on the method recently identified one such asteroid. What have they said about it?
Yes, so the scientists did identify the asteroid their algorithm discovered. They said the object was relatively small, about 182 meters long, and was about 20 million kilometers from Earth. And even though the asteroid is considered a potentially hazardous asteroid, the team said further study demonstrated that it is not likely to present a threat to Earth anytime soon. But they hope to identify more of these asteroids in the future.
And what did the researchers say about what their algorithm can do that past asteroid search tools have not been able to do?
So the team explained that the algorithm was built to be used together with a powerful new telescope, which is still being built in Chile. It is called the Vera C. Rubin Observatory. That telescope system is equipped with a powerful new camera, a huge mirror, and very sensitive instruments. And what the researchers are saying is the algorithm is specifically designed to examine more detailed telescope data and can also help identify the kinds of light movements that suggest the presence of asteroids.
Okay. Thanks again, Brian, for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Today, we visit one of the most famous national parks in America. You can find it in the Sierra Nevada Mountains of the western state of California. It is one of the most stunning places in the country. Its name is Yosemite. Yosemite National Park is a place of extremes. It has high mountains. It has valleys formed by ancient ice that cut deep into the earth millions of years ago. Water from high in the mountains falls in many places to the Green Valley far below. There are 13 waterfalls in Yosemite Valley. One of these falls, Yosemite Falls, is the fifth highest on Earth. Up in the mountains are clear lakes, fast-moving rivers, and huge rock formations. One rock is called Half Dome. It rises more than 2,700 meters into the air.
More than 60 kinds of animals live in the park. Deer are very common. You might even see a large black bear. And more than 200 kinds of birds live in Yosemite. In a place called the Mariposa Grove, visitors can see some of the largest, tallest, and oldest living things on Earth. These are the giant sequoia trees. One of these trees is called Grizzly Giant. It is more than 1,800 years old. It is almost 63 meters tall. At its base, it is 28 meters around. The old sequoia trees can make visitors feel quite small. The story of the Sierra Nevada Mountains and the area that is Yosemite National Park begins about 500 million years ago, when the area was at the bottom of an ancient sea. Scientists believe strong earthquakes forced the bottom of the sea to rise above the water. After millions of years, it was pushed up into the air to form land and mountains. At the same time, hot liquid rock from deep in the earth pushed to the surface. This liquid rock slowly cooled. This cooling liquid formed a very hard rock, known as granite.
Years and years of rain caused huge rivers to move violently through the area. Over time, these rivers cut deep into the new mountains. During the Great Ice Age, millions of tons of ice cut and shaped the cooled granite to form giant rocks. Millions of years later, these would become the giant rocks like Half Dome and El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. Humans lived in the area of Yosemite for more than 4,000 years. The first people who lived there were hunters. Most were members of a tribe of Native Americans called the Miwok. A famous hunter and explorer named Joseph Walker passed through the area in the 1830s. He reported about the massive rock formations. In 1864, a United States senator called for legislation to give the Yosemite Valley to the state of California as a public park. The legislation said the valley should be preserved and protected. President Abraham Lincoln signed the bill. The event marked the first time that a government had approved a law to preserve and protect land because of its great beauty. The land was to be kept for the public to enjoy. Yosemite became the first state park. It was the first real park in the world. Then, in 1890, it became a national park. The National Park Service is responsible for the park today.
Yosemite is about 320 kilometers east of San Francisco. The small roads leading to the park pass over lower parts of the huge mountains. Then the road goes lower and lower into the Yosemite Valley. Visitors to Yosemite Park can stay in several kinds of places. Beautiful old hotels are near the park. Some are very costly. Many visitors bring tents to Yosemite and camp in the park. Visitors can walk through the beautiful valley and the mountains. There are more than 1,100 kilometers of walking paths. Some short trails take only a few minutes to walk. Others can take days to complete.
People come from all over the world to climb Yosemite's rock formations. The most famous of these is called El Capitan. Climbers call it El Cap. Climbing El Cap is only for rock climbing experts. It is difficult and dangerous. The climb is straight up the face of a rock wall. Most people take about 3 days to climb to the top of El Cap. Climbers must look for cracks in the rock. They place their hands and feet in the cracks and work their way up. They also use ropes and special equipment. From the bottom of the valley to the top of El Cap is about 1,100 meters. The climbers on El Cap must rest and sleep during the climb. They hang cloth beds or hammocks on the rocks. In 2015, two American rock climbers made history by becoming the first people to free climb El Cap's Dawn Wall. It is considered one of the hardest climbs in the world. Free climbing means climbing with little special equipment and ropes. It took them 19 days to climb all the way to the top.
In summer, Yosemite Park is filled with visitors. Large buses bring people from San Francisco to spend the day. Other visitors come by car. Some even come by bicycle. About 4 million people visit the park every year. In the winter, heavy snow falls in the Sierra Nevada Mountains and Yosemite. The snow usually begins in November. Heavy snow forces some of the roads into Yosemite to close during the winter months. The National Park Service works hard to keep most of the roads open. Winter visitors enjoy a special beauty at Yosemite. Many come to spend their time skiing at Badger Pass. It has a ski school for those who want to learn the sport. Some of the highest mountain peaks keep their snow until the last hot days of summer. But whenever visitors come to Yosemite, they experience great natural beauty in one of America's first parks.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.